Good morning and welcome to the worship service broadcasting live from the 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Join us for the next hour as Pastor Garrett Sweeney brings a message titled, It Is Done, from Scripture found in Revelations chapter 21, verse 1 through 6. This is Kevin Van Heuklem, inviting you to stay tuned in for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Welcome to the worship at 8th Reformed Church on this final Lord's Day of 2025. As we enter into a new year, we come to honor and praise the living God who makes all things new. Romans 6:4 reminds us that it is God who enables us to walk in the newness of life. And we pray that your time here will be uplifting and joyful. If you are visiting with us today, please sign our guest register in the narthex. And if you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will return to worship with us again. After worship service this morning, the coffee's downstairs. At 11, there'll be choir rehearsal, no adult Sunday school, and no young people's Sunday school. Let's remember those nominees that you want to turn in for the office of deacon and elder, and the qualifications are written in the bulletin. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm like David said, no matter if it's raining, snowing, ice, no matter what, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. The presence of the Lord is here this morning. Let's everybody enter in to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise as we stand and open up to him 772, when we all get to heaven.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here this morning. For you said two or more that would be gathered in your name, you'd be amongst us. Move amongst us in a real way throughout the pews, down the aisles. Bless each and every one that's here this morning or listening by radio. We thank you for your presence here this morning. It's a joy just to be in your house and to sing praises and to worship you and to hear the word of God. For we know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. We give you all praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Y'all may be seated as the choir ministers to us in music.
Heart of mine, as the name divine, the precious, precious name of Jesus.
Thank you. Shall we go to God in prayer this morning? Almighty Father, we look unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, for we know that it's in you that we live. It's in you that we move. It's in you that we have our being. We exist because of you. And we know that all things are possible with you. You're the great I am. Your name is wonderful. Jesus is the sweetest name we know. And we know that there's no other name under heaven which men can call upon. and be saved. For we know that you are the great I am, the one that said, I am he, when the different soldiers and different ones came to take you captive in John chapter 18, and they fell over backwards when you spoke, for you said, I am he. And you also said, Lord, in your word, that one day, whether we bow in this life, we will bow one day before the Almighty. For you said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank you for that salvation this morning. We thank you. For we know that your grace is sufficient. We thank you for your mercy. For you said in Psalms 136 that your mercy endureth forever. That when you give us your mercy and your grace, that you won't take it back. That it endures forever. We know that you're the God that hates sin. And you said if we turn from our wicked way and we look unto Jesus, there's grace. For by grace are we saved, and not that of ourselves. Heavenly Father, you told us we can come boldly into the throne room because of what Jesus did for us. And we come boldly, closing our door behind us. Where we come and we talk unto you, Father. And Heavenly Father, I pray for the different requests that are mentioned throughout our bulletin this morning. I pray for our missionaries, Carl and Jackson. I pray for those that are on hospice, Mel and Don, Pam, Joe's wife, Donna Miller and Rick Miller's mom. I pray for those with health issues this morning, Tom, Ron and Terry, Jody, John, Brian, Donna, Bob, Elaine, Josh's mother, Lorraine, Jim, Tom, Robert, Brenda, and Kathy. And the different ones that are here this morning, Lord, that are in your sanctuary, Lord. The different physical, mental, emotional, financial needs, Lord, that each one might have this morning, Lord, or those that are listening by radio this morning, Lord. I pray that you meet all of the needs, no matter what they are, Lord, according to your riches and glory. For you said, Lord, in Psalms 46, that you were our refuge. Oh, Lord, we thank you that you are our refuge this morning, that we are the apple of your eye. We look unto you, Lord, from where cometh our help, for our help cometh in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. There's no other person that can help us like you, Lord. You're our help in need of trouble, in need of sickness, no matter what we face. Yea, though we walk through that valley, you're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Put your arms around those that have those needs this morning. Be their strength, their encouragement, Lord, the lifter up of their head. You said whatsoever we ask in Jesus' name. And I'm asking in Jesus' name this morning, meet those needs according to your riches and glory. For you are our strength this morning, Lord. For you said we could do all things through Jesus Christ, who strengthens us this morning. You are, Lord, our help in time of trouble. Oh, Lord, we know that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all things that we could even ask, Lord. We come to you, Lord, with those that are being persecuted, Lord. You are that friend, Lord, that sticketh closer than a brother. In our seasons of trials, Lord, sickness, I think of Peter's mother-in-law, Lord, how you went and you touched her, Lord. Touch each one of these needs this morning, Father, no matter what we're facing, Lord. Lord, pray for the different churches having service this morning, Lord. You be lifted up. For you said, Lord, if you be lifted up, and we lift you up here this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And Father, I'm so glad we can come to you in a corporate prayer, and we can say as one, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a day that will be when we see Jesus. Let us turn to hymn 762, What a Day That Will Be, and let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
want to share this morning out of Revelation 21 and verses 1 through 6, but I'll be going to different places in the Bible also. I always use the King James, so it might read just a little bit different than what you have. It's always been a challenge to me, King James, and things just, I pray a lot of times and the Holy Spirit will make it alive to me, things I don't understand. Beginning with verse 1 of chapter 21, and he said, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" I like that saying, "These words are true and faithful." You can bank on everything God says in his word. It's divinely inspired. I believe it from cover to cover, everything that's written in there. "His words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.'" Heavenly Father, I've been faithful to study. Holy Spirit, I depend on you to give us the words that we have need of this morning. For we know that you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that I could even think or ask. Minister unto each one of our hearts this morning, both that are here and listening by radio, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I like what he says there in verse 6. He says, "It is done." And I'm going to come back to that in a little bit about what he says, "It is done, for things are finished," and then something else is going to happen that goes along with that, that it is done. There are a couple other places that it almost says the same thing, that it is done. There's two other places that I want to talk about this morning, and then I want to come back to Revelation 21, and I'll preach the rest of the chapter or the rest of the verses that I read to us in just a few minutes. But I want to begin this morning with the first one that's found in John chapter 19 about an "and" there. Jesus said in John chapter 19 and verse 30, "It is finished." That's another "and." But what is the purpose of that "and," that it is finished? I want you to go back a little bit if you're in John chapter 19 and verse 26. And here is one of those words that the King James brings out, and he says, "Behold." And when he uses the word behold, that always excites me. It's like he says, I want your attention. This is important. And he looks down and he sees Mary there and he says, behold, woman, thy son. Right? And then he turns, and I believe there's a reason he's saying that, behold thy son. In other words, I'm going to pay a price for the sins of the world, for your sin, my sin. And then he looks to John, and perhaps at this time, Joseph is dead, and he looks at John, and it says, behold, he says, thy mother. You take care of mama, right? And John takes her home right then. And from that day, she's going to live at John's house, right? And John's going to take care of her, right? And then you go back to the other Gospels and in the book of Luke, you'll read that different ones are mocking Jesus. Right, Pastor? They're making fun of Jesus. Show that you're the Son of God. Take yourself down. Some of them are wagging their heads. Some of them are even spitting at him. They're making fun of the Son of God. And God's in heaven watching all this. And I believe at that time, God's getting a little angry. And Jesus turns to the Father, and he looks up while he's on the cross, and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Thank God for forgiveness. And one of the thieves or the malefactors that's hanging on the cross next to him rebukes the other malefactor, and he says, Jesus, remember me when you go into heaven. He had been making fun of him before. But right at the last minute, Jesus says to him, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Then you go to Mark 16. And Jesus cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabathaka. In other words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me? And the earth turns dark. And the Bible says that God hates sin. Sin had been committed. All have sinned. Each one of us, and have come short of the glory of God. Sacrifices were made by bulls and goats. But God didn't take pleasure in that. Human sin had been committed. And a human sacrifice had to be offered. One that knew no sin. One that had never sinned. And Jesus became that sacrifice when the Father turned his back on him and darkness over the face of the earth. And Jesus takes the sins of the world, the sins that you and I've committed, upon himself. And then you go back to John 19, and Jesus says, I thirst. And they give him vinegar water. And then he said, it is finished. It's done. What was done? The price for sin. And the Bible says, if I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I turn from my wicked way, then I shall be saved. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Did I see Jesus, that was part of the Trinity, 100% God, become man, born of a virgin in a place called Bethlehem? Did I see him grow up? And did I see him preach that he was the way, the truth, and the life? That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did I see that? Did I see him talk to Nicodemus and tell Nicodemus, you gotta be born again? And Nicodemus said, I don't understand that. And Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Did I see that? Did I hear that? Did I see it? No, I did not see it. Did I see that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life? No, I did not see it, but I believe it. And if I confess with my mouth and I believe it in my heart and I turn from my wicked way, then I shall be saved. That's the price when Jesus said it is finished. It is done. It is finished. Are you at that point in your life that you've turned from your wicked way and have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Only you know. You know what's in your heart. You know that Jesus is the way. It is finished. That's the first one that I noticed. Pastor Harry asked me if I was going to preach the sermon. I was going to preach December 7th when we had to cancel. And I said, no, I'm not going to preach it. At that time, the Spirit wouldn't allow me. But then as I prayed and I went to Revelation, he says, incorporate some of what you are going to preach in Matthew chapter 25, the 10 virgins. You know, as I thought about that, that has to do with the end also, that it is finished. Our life is going to be finished one day. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. 5 were foolish. 5 were wise. I like the word likened. So I want to do not take away from the Word of God, but let's just bring it right down to our level. You're either wise, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're either prepared, you're ready, you have hope, or you're saved, right? Or you're either foolish. You know, I looked up the word foolish. 69 times the word foolish is used in the Bible. The fool, Bible says, the fool, 2 or 3 times it says it, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool. The fool plays the hypocrite. The fool has a form of godliness, goes to church. He's a great pretender. The fool. 69 times talks about the fool. There's a fool in Luke chapter 12. Blessed with riches. Thinks everything's going good. Got his health. Got riches. Jesus said, thou fool, this night your soul's required of you. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The fool. You know, I've had different ones that said to me, Paul, they said to me, well, if I go to hell, I'm going to have a lot of friends there. You won't enjoy it. I've had people tear up things in front of me that I've given them. I've had even some tear up parts of the Bible. I don't believe that. People say, I just don't believe it. There's coming a day you're going to bow before God. Every knee will bow. The fool. Now, there's 3 different ways that we can face our end, right? There's three different ways we're going to face our end. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, the fool has set in it. No, in Hebrews 9, 27, it says, it's appointed once on demand to die, and then the judgment. You can't stop your appointment. We all have an appointment. We cancel church December 7th, and we broke that appointment. You can cancel any appointment you want in this life, but you can't cancel your appointment to meet your Maker. And when you meet your Maker, you either stay on the judgment seat of Christ or the white throne judgment. Those are two different sermons. I'd love to preach on the judgment seat of Christ and the white throne judgment. My father died 48 years old. His dad died 48 years old. I went in and had heart surgery. I had a widowmaker. And they told me after they did bypass on me, they said, this will probably be only good for 9 years. And that was 2006. All things are possible with God. I got an appointment. We all have an appointment. We're going to meet our Maker. And you'll bow before God Almighty. We got that appointment with death. You know, if you don't go through that appointment, there's a second way you might go through it. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord shall descend with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, right? And we which are alive shall be caught up together and changed, right? That's called the rapture. You might go through the rapture, right? That could happen any day where the church is taken out and there'd be people left behind, right? Or there's a third way you can go. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, that his desire is that not willing that any should perish, but that all, I like that word all, should come to repentance. But then he gives us a but the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, where in the heavens come with a loud noise, and he says, the elements are going to melt, and the earth is going to be burned up. And those that have been left behind are going to stand the white throne judgment. The books are open, right? And your name is either written in the Lamb's Book of Life or it's not. Choice lies with you. Didn't Joshua say, you choose this day whom you're going to serve? You're either wise or you're foolish. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You're either prepared or you're not prepared. You're either ready, not ready. You either have hope or hopeless. Choice lies with you. Didn't Moses, after the Israelites had made the golden calf, didn't Moses tell the people, the choice lies with you? Whose side are you on? If you're on God's side, you come over here. And the ones that stayed on the other side, by the golden calf, didn't the ground just suck them up alive? Choice lies with you. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. That's an end. And then what waits afterwards? Now, let's go back to Revelation 21. This is really good. This is talking to those that are truly born again. Those that are Christians. He says in Revelation 21, verse 6, that all is done. And then you go to the last verse. He says, I will give unto, the last verse of verse 6, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I like that word, thirst. The Bible says in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. I know myself. I mean, I'm ashamed of my past, different things that I did in my flesh. But it's all under the blood. It's forgiven. God's able to cast it in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. And when I got saved, when I accepted Jesus, the want to changed inside. Now I'm hungering and I'm thirsting after righteousness. You bless me when you play the piano and organ. I mean, that even makes me more hungry for the things of God. I'm hungering and thirsting where there is no more sin, no more wickedness, no more iniquity, no more lying, no more murder, no more devil, no more funerals, no more hospitals. I'm like Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. I'm looking for a city whose foundation, whose maker and builder is God Almighty, where everything is perfect. And that's what he's prepared for us. I like what he says in Genesis 1 and verse 4. Verse 10, verse 18, 21, and 25. In Genesis 1, after God, after the Trinity created everything, whether it was animals, whether it was grass, herbs, the firmament, dry ground, look at those verses and God said, it is good. And on the seventh day, God rested. And when he rested, he said, everything he made was very good. You get to Genesis 3, and the devil's cast out of heaven. He's defiled heaven, right, with his presence. And he's defiled the earth because he's caused sin to come into the world. That caused all of us to sin and come short of the glory of God, right? And he's defiled the earth. But then you go to verse 5 of Revelation 21, and he says, behold, I make all things new. A new heaven, a new earth, a new you, a new me, a new everything, a new Jerusalem coming out of heaven that doesn't land on the earth, where everything is perfect. No more devil, no more wickedness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sadness. He makes all things new, where everything's perfect now. Doesn't he? No more sorrow. No more bad memories. No more heartache. I like what he says in verse 1. In verse 1 of 21, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. That always jumped out at me. No more sea. You ever think about that? What do seas do? Seas separate, don't they? Don't they separate seas? You know, as I thought about that, one of the parishioners that was at one of the churches that I pastored in Mississippi texted me the other day, a few weeks ago, about a month ago, and he said his wife was complaining of some type of pain, and she hadn't been going to the doctor, took her into the doctor's about 4 weeks ago and ran tests, and turned out she had stage 4 cancer throughout her whole body. Married like 50 years, something like that. just wrote me back the other week. And he said there was no hope and she died. He said, what he said to me, he said, it's difficult to lose a loved one. It's difficult to lose a parent. But when you're married that many years to somebody, it hurts even worse. Can I tell you in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, death is our enemy. It hurts. It hurts when somebody dies. It hurts when I come to church and I hear in the bulletin or I hear them mention about so-and-so passed away. Death hurts. No more death. No more separation. In the new heaven, new earth. Thank God. You know what else I noticed? Verse 3. God is with us. He's going to be right there with us. I like what Pastor shared a few weeks ago when he went into Isaiah, our everlasting Father. He's my everlasting Father. Our everlasting Father. You know, he's going to be right there with us. I can't hardly comprehend that. We just got done corporately praying, our Father who art in heaven, right? And we believe God's in heaven right now. But God's going to be with us forever. Our Heavenly Father, everlasting Father. If I said to each and every individual right now, sitting in the church, if I said, does everybody have something on their heart they want to talk to God about? And everybody raised their hand. I said, well, let's everybody pray at once to God. Right? When I was at the university, I had this instructor that said, he said, you ought to be able to get to a place, you can put one earphone in this ear, one earphone in this ear, listen to something else. And with this eye, read one thing, and with this eye, read something else and carry on a conversation and know everything that's going on. I'm one of the ones that when people say they got good memory, I'm one of the ones that lost some of the film because my memory's not the best. I don't have a photographic memory. I can't multitask. Can I tell you though, each one of us could talk to God right now. God can multitask. He would know what each one of us are saying. He's the Almighty. And one day, he's going to be with us forever, his presence. And I can go to him at any time, and he's always there for me. He's my everlasting Father. Right? And you know what else I noticed in here? If you go to verse 5, you are important to God. I like what he says there. Where he makes everything new. Or verse 4, he says, I'm going to wipe away every tear. Individually, you're that important to God. He knows the heartaches. He knows the pain. He knows the sorrow many of you have experienced. And he promises to wipe away, doesn't he? He says, I will personally wipe it away. And God shall wipe away all the pain, all the crying. Nobody's seeing your tears, but God's collected your tears in a vial. It says that in Revelation. Nobody knows the troubles you've seen. in closing, you are important to God, and He's making everything new for the children of God. Everything. Total light there. No more darkness. He says that in the end of Revelation 21. No more time there, right? Time is no more. I run my life by time. No more time. I want to share with two things. First thing is, he says in verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city in New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. It's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. During my years of ministry, 50-some years now, I performed quite a few weddings. But when I moved up north, up in Michigan, I don't perform them anymore. But the weddings that I performed, right before the ceremony started, the groom and I would come out here and we'd stand. The groom would be looking at me and I'd be looking at him. And eventually the music would start and the wedding party would come in. And then all of a sudden, the music for the bride to come in would play. Everybody stood. And they looked at that bride. And the groom turned around and his eyes like popping out of his eyes. You know, looking at the bride. Everybody thought, what a beautiful bride. Every marriage I performed, never met an ugly bride. My wife wouldn't attend many of the weddings with me. We had 5 kids at home at the time, they were little. When I would get home, you know what she would ask me? What'd the bride look like? Was she pretty? I said, yeah, she pretty. Always ask me. Nobody asked me about the groom. Who cares about the groom? Right? Can I tell you, that's what God has in store for each one of you. He says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God loves you so much. He's making all things new for you. Last thought I'm going to give you, or give to each one of us. Someone special said to me this Christmas season, they added something to a song, and it said, and they said, come to Bethlehem to see the Savior Jesus Christ who died for me. Aren't you thankful? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I shared what I felt you wanted me to share, Lord. I pray, Lord, for every individual here this morning, Lord. I know you love us so much, Lord, with an everlasting love. Your mercy and your grace. Thank you for the price that Jesus paid for us. Pray for each one here, Lord. I pray that they're right with you, Lord. And if they're not right, Lord, let them take time before you and call upon you, Lord, and make things right. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Let's everybody turn to 358. And stand and sing, because if the deacons would come at this time, we'll give you the opportunity to give back a portion unto God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity just to give back a portion unto you, Lord. Bless those that were able to give and those that aren't, Lord. And we know that they'll use the money, Lord, that has been given rightly, Lord. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to say before the benediction, one reason I sit up there in the balcony is when you all sing, it's just so beautiful, and I hear the pianist up here and the organist. It's just a blessing to us up there. I feel like I'm back south. Makes me want to holler a little bit, you know. But I'm just thankful. Thankful for each one of you. Each one of you. Each one of us that's here this morning. You go with God. Put Jesus first. You are important to Him. And one day, we'll be together in heaven. You go. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Precious Lord.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from the 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jeffro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on the website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8th. Church.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.